Hello, and welcome to the 22nd episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. I am Samantha Blackman, one of your co-hosts, and I am joined this morning by my two co-hosts, Alex Lane and Sarah White. I am an associate professor here at Purdue University in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana, where I specialize in minority rhetorics and digital humanities. Right now, my main area of interest is video games. Do games in education, games in culture, games as cultural artifacts. And also, as I said before, I'm joined by my two co-hosts this morning. Ladies, would you like to take a chance to introduce yourselves?
Go ahead, Sarah.
I can go. My name is Sarah White, and I teach up to the north of these two fine ladies at wonderful Westville, Indiana, at Purdue North Central, the smallest satellite campus. And I try to write some fiction. I try to write some stuff about video games. I try to write anything that's on my mind, and this morning I was awakened by a big, giant white cat sitting directly on my head.
Oh, that's adorable.
Not enough room on the bed, so plop on my face.
That's always my rule. So, I am Alex Lane. I'm a PhD student in rhetoric and composition at Purdue University. I specialize in I don't specialize in anything yet. I am going to specialize someday in video games and gender issues. Lately, I've been looking at sort of policies and things in the video game industry and how that influences the gender. I want to like say discrepancy, but that's not the word. Disparities. Anyway, some of the gender issues in the gaming industry. I was not awoken by a white cat or anything sitting on my head. I was awoken by an alarm. So that's, it's much more, it's much lamer.
Aw. You didn't miss anything, trust me.
That's good.
Okay. So that's who we are. And we'll start with our usual things this morning. What you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking. Those are always our fun things. We'll start with what you're playing. Alex, would you like to start this morning?
Yes, I want to start. Yeah. I have been playing tons of stuff. I'm playing Call of Duty Black Ops, obviously. Trying to get ramped up for the release of Modern Warfare 3, which I'm very excited about. I've liked Modern Warfare 1 and 2. They were my favorite of the series of the Call of Duty series, so I'm very excited for number 3. And you probably won't see me for about a week after that comes out, ladies, just so you know.
I was gonna say, I'm glad that's an off week for us.
I know, that's for sure. I could still play while we record, I just wouldn't be very engaged. And then also Lightfish. I think I talked to that was my indie game of the week last week, I think.
Yes, right?
I think so, yeah.
So I've been playing that, and then I played some games for Halloween, and I revamped an old Windows laptop that I have, and so I've been finally able to like go on and download some of the indie games that were only for PC that I've been dying to get. So I played a bunch of those for the Halloween post that I wrote, and one of them is Limbo. Actually, I played that on the console, on the Xbox 360. You can get it on XBLA. So yeah. I played Limbo, which is a really interesting game where you're, like, wake up in Limbo, and you are sort of, you don't really know what you're doing. You don't get a story right away, but eventually you find out that you're like, searching for this woman who is your sister.
But aren't you like a little kid?
Yeah, you're a little kid, and like you don't ever see yourself. You're just like this black silhouette, and then you have like these white eyes, and it's like a platformer. But it's a really strange game. It's not fun, exactly. But
it's very dark.
It's really dark. It's, I mean, you know, pretty.
Yeah, and gruesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little gruesome. I played The Haunted Hell's Reach, which is basically just sort of a slasher game. That it was fun, but it's fine. Which was whatever. And then Exotic, which like broke my machine down because it takes such a crazy specs to be able to play it, which is like this really beautiful, really complex first person shooter. I think it's sort of like third person-y, first person-y, I think. At the beginning, you start off first person. Anyway, so you're this, you have this crazy stick that, like, shoots people, and you're this alien going around and trying to kill these, like, pods that are giving the power to the thing that took over your planet. So if you have a good enough machine, that game would be really fun. I didn't enjoy it as much because my machine wasn't very good. I played Death in the Fly, which is, I don't know, the reviews online of it were absolutely atrocious. People hated this game, but I actually kind of enjoyed it. Like, so you get to be Death, and you move through this level like a platformer, and then when you get to something, let's say you need to get something that's up in the air, you switch, and you can switch your person, and you become a fly. So, like, your Death's still standing there. So there you have, like, two characters going at once. And then, like, the fly comes through. And you can, like, get whatever you need to from up in the air. So it's really weird.
That sounds like a game that Emily Dickinson would have just eaten up.
Yeah. I know. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. It was a really interesting game. I played Zombie Trade Wars, which we're going to talk about in our main topic of today. So I'll save that for later. And then Tap Fish 2, which I did not kill all my fish. But apparently there's a glitch in the game where whenever you go to your friend's tank, all their fish appear dead, even if they're not. and I played Frayed Knights, the Skull of... how do you say that?
I think it's SmackDown.
Oh, yes, I'm sure it is SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
Frayed Knights, the Skull of SmackDown, not spelled how it sounds, which is my indie game of the week, so I'll talk about that later.
Awesome.
I talked forever. Sorry.
You played a lot.
No, I was excited about my games. They were good.
Well, I played a lot too, unfortunately. I played a number of different games. I'm going to kind of throw some of them out there. I played Rage, of course, for our topic today. I also played, Fallout 3 again. I played Fallout New Vegas again. These are all kind of games that I was revisiting. I also played the kind of narrative-y, independent game that explores issues of sexuality and coming out, the game A Closed World that was done by that group at MIT. That was a lot of fun. And I'm sure I'll write a post about that at some point. I played a bunch of kind of XBLA and indie type games this week. I played Orcs Must Die because I actually got that on Live had a sale that they were given. They were selling games, select games for $1.
Oh, wow.
If you had not previously purchased a game from on Live. And I was always pretty iffy about what it was going to be like, what streaming console games were going to be like. So I never bought anything per se until this week when I downloaded Orcs Must Die, which was a whole lot of fun. It's kind of a tower defense-y kind of game where you sit and you have to defend your portal.
It looks really fun. I haven't played it yet, but I've been eyeing it up because it looks awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, there's it's like shit for a story, but you just sit there and you bash the hell out of orcs, and lay traps and try to keep them from getting to your portal. And you have like on each level a certain number of orcs that can go through your portal before you lose. Mm-hmm. So you can just see that like the little ticker counting down as an orc gets by you and runs through the portal. It was a lot of fun. Definitely a kind of a good way to spend, 20 minutes at a time, just play a level or two, and then go back to what you were doing. I played it a lot at work last week. Not that I have time for that kind of thing, but sometimes you just need to, if you're ever WPA, sometimes you just need to kill things.
It was quite the week. My office is right by all the WPAs, and oh man, you can just tell when something happens. Everyone just stomps around and just cussing all over.
I also played Dungeon Defenders on XBLA. It was another tower defense kind of game where you actually have a crystal that you have to defend from a series of trolls and orcs and other mythical creatures. And you can both defend with weapons or melee weapons and traps. That was actually a lot of fun. There's a pretty substantial demo to really give you a good feel for it before you buy it. I think it's 1,200 points, I want to say. But I think it's definitely worth it. Like I said, I've been in a tower defense kind of mood for the last week or so. So I played that.
That's a fun mood to be in.
That is a fun mood to be in. So those were my tower defense games. The indie game that I played this week that Alex also played was Frayed Knights, the Skull of SmackDown. It's a Rampant Games game. It's an old school RPG kind of game. This is from the folks who did, what was it? I think they did Kingdom of Keflings?
Yeah, Kingdom of Keflings.
And they've done a couple of other things that I've actually played. And they've been kind of XBLA games that I've played. Mm-hmm. And this was the first RPG, real RPG game that I played by them.
Even though they have like a million, right?
Even though they have like a million. No, I think they had like 35 on their page, but this was the first one I had played. 35 RPGs, but they do other genres as well. But I think Alex and I will talk more about that at a different time. Because we're writing a review of that one. Mm-hmm.
The SmackDown one?
Mm-hmm. The Frayed Knights.
Yeah, okay.
And then, of course, I played a lot of other stuff. Why? Because there was the crazy buy two, get one free sale at the local big box store for video games, like all games. So I bought Batman Arkham City, even though I wasn't supposed to buy it until I finished Arkham Asylum, which I have not yet done. I also bought Once Upon a Monster, the Sesame Street game, the Kinect game. I bought that for my little one. And I bought Skylanders, the Spyro's Adventure, which is the one game that I haven't had a chance to play yet. And there's a whole post that's going to be up on the blog about why I haven't had a chance to play that game yet. And then, of course, this this Tuesday, Harvest Moon: Tale of Two Cities for the 3DS came out.
Nice.
It's been out for the DS, I want to say, since the end of September, maybe. But the 3DS version came out this week. And I had pre-ordered it, and it came with the little stuffed alpaca, which is sitting on my desk in my office on campus.
It's so cute.
Man, the monster did not get her hands on it.
Meredith.
She never saw it.
Yeah.
So it's at least safe until she shows up in my office again. And like I said, I bought the 3DS version of it rather than the DS version of it. But at the same time, the 3D adds nothing at all to the game. You know, basically what I did was pay $10 for a stuffed alpaca, because that was the difference in price between the 3DS game and the regular DS game. most of the time I have the 3D off altogether, because it really adds nothing to the game. And if I play for too long, my eyes get tired, and it wreaks havoc on the battery life of the 3DS. So I think I probably had the 3DS for about 10 minutes on that game. That's about it. I did play Once Upon a Monster, which was a lot of fun. Believe it or not, it's a kid's game. Not believe it or not, it's a kid's game, but believe it or not, it was a lot of fun, and it is a kid's game. I also played that game. I got an extra workout playing it for the Kinect, because I played about half an hour or so of it where we had to run and lean and jump and squat and do all these different things with a 40-pound toddler sitting on my shoulders.
That's a good workout.
I may never be the same, but it was a lot of fun.
Sarah, and you can use your cat and I'll use Smalls.
Yeah, that would go really well.
Right? So that's what I played this last couple weeks.
Oh my goodness. Wow, what a list. Mm-hmm. Well, as my blog post indicated, I've been busily playing Words with Friends. I don't know how many games I'm up to now, but they keep growing. People are challenging me now on my Facebook wall. I mean, I may never climb out of the depths of the challenges that are being heaped upon me. And of course, as I mentioned in my blog post, I have in fact thrown down the gauntlet before Dr. B herself. And I think you are currently ahead of me in points with the last, or I don't know, I might be ahead of you. I'm not sure. Yeah, I saw that you had played a word and then I played one. So, I also, Steam was having a freebie out there. Till Sunday, I think it is. They're telling me I have 2 days left to play it. So I said, hey, why not? So I played Sanctum, and it doesn't sound unlike Orcs Must Die, because I have these things, monsters, creatures, trying to run to a portal, and I have to stop them, right? And I have to put up little boxes and, you know, try to channel the way that they're going to run through. And then my objective is to kill them as they go by. Well, I just did not do very well at it, and my little portal filled up quite quickly, and they were having parties. You know, they had a little movie for you when you didn't succeed, and so they were partying down in their portal because I sucked. And then I also I did a little demo thing on Steam, too, because I'm quickly becoming quite a Steam obsessive fan or whatever. So I go in, and I'm like, oh, play this Saints Row. Saints Row the third. A couple students were talking about, oh, I love Saints Row, those games are great. So I'm like, okay. So this was the initiation station, and you got to design your avatar, right? And you could pick the skin color and the eyes, you know, just like you could with the little Wii Me, but this is, of course, much more better in graphics, and you can be a hottie guy with bulging muscles and a giant package, should we say. I was quite impressed by the size of the manhood being offered to me through the little tight boxers. Or I could become a woman. And, of course, this is everything that's wrong with video games in terms of gender, as we've indicated. Because
I'm very excited to see what it's like.
You definitely need to get this. Because it goes through, blah, blah. And then one of the little sliding, you can slide, make yourself. Well, they do offer skinny or fat. Okay, those are the terms. You can be either skinny or you can be fat. And fat,
that
of course.
That is really interesting.
She's probably about a size 12. Okay.
Nice.
And then one of the little sliders, you guys would really appreciate it, is called sex appeal.
Oh, I wonder how do they make her sexier or not sexier?
I know. Can you just imagine? Well, your boobs get bigger. You can be either
an
A cup or like a double Z cup, which they're ridiculous. And of course they have this wonderful bounce. I wonder how much their designers and how much technology and hours are spent to get just the right amount of jiggle on video game avatars. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of attention to this.
That reminds me, that going back to Brink, it's like, man, we can put the programming dollars in to program a woman. It's like, really? Because I wonder how many programming dollars every year are spent on just creating bouncy breasts.
The jiggle, yeah. And they jiggle way more than any breasts I've ever owned. Okay, so so even with a bra, it's like, and you can actually, this is the fun part, choose to wear underwear or not.
Nice.
Now, they don't show you what they're protecting you from are nipples, okay, and the, you know, delta of Venus, shall we say. It's blurred. But otherwise, you get a pretty good effect. I was like, wow, okay. Yeah. And just the costuming they have is ridiculous. You can pick outfits. And one of them was like I can't remember what it was called. But even the guy, you can be a leather daddy. Okay, so even for the men, it's not just, you know, they're being kind of a certain kind of sexualization too, in interesting ways. You know, I was like a leather daddy, you know, like an S&M kind of, you know, leather and everything. But you can. So anyway, that I just was enthralled with that. And those are really
super interesting.
Yeah, you need to. You definitely. And it,
what's like the gameplay like?
I couldn't get to it because I think all that I have here is just the chance to make my avatar, because then you can upload it to a community that's on Steam, or you can
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and what was involved with a lot of this demo that I had was advertisements for other things. So yeah, other than designing the person, I was like, oh, this is it. So I did that. I did the Sanctum and was bad. I'm doing my Words with Friends, and other than playing the games for our post-apocalyptic adventures, I have nothing else to offer.
Cool. That's always good. Okay, so next up we have, of course, our favorite, another picture of Smalls in our show notes.
Yeah, I Smalls'd the show notes this week.
Is what you're reading. Ladies, what you're reading this week?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I'm reading stuff for school. That's about all. I read about a half of a Building Effective Business Plans book, so that was pretty enthralling.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just crushing my students this semester. They're working so hard. But let's see. No, nothing related to games. Nothing besides blogs and stuff.
Right, just news and stuff.
Yeah. How about you?
Sadly, I think I'm about in the same boat.
It seems to be the theme of like this semester's podcasts.
Oh, it's just like we read a semester, yeah.
Work stuff. I've been reading a lot of work stuff, but I've been sick for like the last week too. And when I'm sick, I think I said this before, I don't want to do anything but sleep. So I would like get in the bed with a book and then sleep. I read nothing except stuff for work. Lots of comp theory articles.
Mm.
And blogs about games, but that's it, just in my regular kind of Google Reader. And I have to say, I hate the new Google Reader format, but that's all.
Oh, come on. It's not too bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're woefully underread.
We are woefully underread this week.
And what are we possibly drinking at this hour?
I am
of
not
today?
Under drinking. Is that a thing? Under, yeah. Under drunk? Underdrink.
Underdrunk.
Underdrunk.
I have a giant Diet Coke from McDonald's.
Oh.
But last night I had several $3.50 32-ounce mugs of PBR. That's Oof. What I had.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
That's so quality. Hipster of you.
That's what of me?
That's so hipster of you.
Okay, first of all, I liked PBR before the hipsters did. Which is also hipster of me to say.
Yeah,
but it was either that, Bud Light, Miller Lite. I'm not big fans of those, so yeah. So yeah, I drank a little PBR.
That is so hipster of you. well, I too am drinking the giant Diet Coke from McDonald's this morning.
Oh my.
Ooh, weird.
Yeah, see? And last night I was drinking numerous hot toddies. I've had laryngitis for like the last 3 days, so I was trying to do everything I could to get my voice at least back to its kind of current Brenda Vaccaro level so that I could record today.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I have a Starbucks coffee that you can buy from the grocery store. Double shot espresso and cream.
Oh, the little can.
I those little love onesies. Those. That's how I got through my master's program. I would go into like a 2-hour-long or 3-hour-long class or something, and I would drink one of those, and then I would be perfectly awake the whole time. It works like crack for me. I guess I don't really know how crack works, but
yeah, I don't
it
know.
Keeps me awake.
Well, the funny thing is I had one of those yesterday when I was leaving campus.
Uh-huh.
Because I was tired and I was like, I don't want a coffee because I was driving home. And I was like, I'll have one of those because I needed to I needed to grab I grabbed a snack for P at Starbucks. So that's what I had for myself.
Yeah. Well, it's going down pretty smoothly.
Oh yeah, they're tasty.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what we've been drinking.
Not as exciting as Thursday night when we record, but whatever.
Nowhere near. So, but you know, we do have other things that are exciting, and that's news for the week. So what do we have in news this week?
None of this news is mine. It's somebody else's. So
what?
Do it up.
I'll just kind of share some of the stuff I put up. Last time, we talked about the fact that the new study had shown that 91% of kids from the ages of like 2 to 17 were gamers or had played games. And now a new study has shown that 17% of kids between the ages of 5 and 8 play games every day.
Ooh, that's fun.
Wow.
I like 17% that.
Of kids 5 to 8 play games
every day. From a parent perspective, Sam, does that feel like way too much?
That feels like way too much. For 5 to 8 year olds.
Yeah.
I mean, there's way too much going on. Those are prime kind of language acquisition times.
Yeah, that's what I would worry about, too.
Those are times that I would definitely rather see kids reading than kind of having too much screen time and engaging with media, with certain kinds of media anyway, and in kind of substantial ways. My kid's 3. She gets an hour of screen time a day, and her screen time is generally spent watching Barney or Sesame Street. She does watch like kids' television shows, but they're not. It's not like she's not watching the crazy television shows. Most of them are the PBS shows where they're teaching them about letters or numbers those are the kinds of shows that she watches. Mm-hmm. She doesn't watch kind of the general just junky cartoon shows.
Killing time shows.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of been my thing is if she's going to watch something on TV, it's got to have a point to it. It's got to have some kind of pedagogical point to it. Right. It's going to teach her something. And she only gets an hour of screen time a day. So,
right.
And if she wants to play her game, which is the DS and never that damn Leapfrog game that I actually bought for her because I was got sucked into the madness of educational hardware. If she's playing something on the DS, it's generally like the Elmo alphabet game because I mean those are the games that I buy for her for the most part on the DS as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 17%. A 5 to 8 year old's gaming every day feels like a lot.
It does.
It feels like a lot. I'll just share one other bit of news that I thought was interesting, or maybe it's two. the Kinect is coming for the PC in 2012.
Wow.
Which I think is really interesting. Because I was really wondering if the Kinect was doing that well that they would even continue to push it, but clearly it's doing better than at least I thought because they're launching it for Windows in early 2012. So it'll be interesting to see if it operates any differently for the PC than it does on the console. I mean, I like Kinect games well enough, but they're very much party games. I don't think they're never going to move beyond party games. I don't see how they're going to become kind of accessories to a hardcore game.
Yeah, and that's why it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to put it up for PC. I don't know, maybe it's not that big of a venture, so it's not like it's costing them a ton of money, and then they can still offer it for people who don't own consoles. Like, if that's the barrier, like... Because I know a lot of people. We know a lot of people who play games but don't own a console because they can't afford it. So maybe if they could get it for their PC for $100, they'd do it. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, there's a difference between standing 8 feet away from your TV to play a game and standing 8 feet away from your PC.
Yeah.
PCs just don't lend themselves well to it. I think it's interesting.
I don't know. Yeah. It depends on how they're going to, what the Kinect is going to do. I mean, I guess you can use your hands.
Yes.
And everything. But I don't know.
Huh, we'll see. I think it'll be interesting. Maybe it'll be more for control than anything else.
Maybe, like touch screen.
And the second thing is also about the Kinect. But Microsoft is eyeing the business app market. Their plan is to take the Kinect to the business world.
Huh.
And they're going to use the Kinect as an accessory for new business-based applications that they're rolling out. So that would be pretty interesting.
Can you see that? It would take over for like PowerPoint or something. I mean,
that's what I'm wondering exactly what they're going to look like. Are you going to be able to use your hands to switch slides around in a very kind of Minority Report kind of way?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking too. Is that movie? Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I slapped up a couple quick news stories. The one I saw was, of course, like I said, I am interested in narrative. Will computer games kill off the novel? You know, and I don't know. Deeper I get into both, I think they're kind of separate animals. I don't know that we have to worry about people not reading in lieu of games. It's almost like people who play games read more. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, the people, just in my general population of people I know, they tend to be just avid entertainment people, you know? And then the one I saw is that video games spur people to gain weight because they're more sedentary. They did this study and found that like X amount of gamers consumed, you know, so many more calories than people who didn't game. And of course you eat when you play, and then so they eat after they play. And then there's some that, because they're staying up late, you know, sleep deprivation leads to weight gain because you eat, your metabolism's all messed up. So, I don't know what you guys think about whether or not video gamers tend to gain more weight, but,
I think anybody who is fairly sedentary, you know, is going to gain more weight and, you know, absent the Wii or the Kinect or the Move, video games are fairly, console games, well, and PC games are fairly sedentary anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's reading a book, though. You know what I mean? Like, you can't exactly get up and jog and read a book, you know?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's why it seems like sort of a silly investigation. Like, people who sit more gain more weight, like, sweet, you know? Like, if I choose to spend my time jogging or walking around or playing disc golf versus video games, obviously one's going to burn more calories than the other. So,
well, it's, you know,
sort of like obvious science.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's like grading papers is going to make you gain weight.
If you grade papers 6 hours a day, you're going to gain more weight. Yep.
Yep. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. And then the last thing is because I did a video game news article search just this morning, and all over, they kept saying the same thing. Video game sales down. Video game sales down.
Interesting.
And, you know, Samantha, you'd said, well, you know, the economy's kind of still in the shitter. So, you know, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can see where the gaming industry is trying to kind of spark, you know, like the sales on Steam and all these different things. Redbox has got games in them now. I mean, I don't know what they could do to try to put a spark in the industry to get people.
Yeah.
I don't know. No. But anyway, they're worried about it because going into the Christmas season,
sure,
they foresee a not as well of a market. Don't know. I don't know what that means.
Anybody else?
Nope.
What are you laughing at?
That's just funny. It's like, yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. I'm acknowledging that you spoke words.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was just trying to figure out, like, well, why? What would be a cause of it? And I guess there's numerous things that you could try to speculate on. I mean, for the PS3 to be down to what, $299 for when it was originally out there for $499.
Yeah, but it's been out for so long. Yeah, like what, like 6 years or something.
The and PS3? I saw for $249 at GameStop yesterday.
PS3's been out that long?
It's been out forever, man. I mean, because think about it. I mean, they've been through multiple iterations, because first they had the ones that would actually
have the hardware support
for the PS2 games.
Oh, wow.
And then they switched to software interior, so it didn't support PS2 games anymore. And those were still the old PS2s, and now the new thin PS2s, PS3s are out. So they've been around. They've been through at least 3 or 4 versions already.
God, what was I doing? I must have been sleeping.
That's what happens when you sleep.
I guess.
Let's not bash sleep, okay?
Well, what did we say? The Xbox 720 is supposed to be coming out soon, so
maybe that's a rumor. It'll be at least 2 or 3 years before there's a new Xbox.
Yeah.
It'll be a while. All right, our indie game of the week, Alex Lane. Da, 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 da,
da. You could talk about this one too, Sam. See, I told you I'm melodic today. I couldn't make it through the whole episode without singing. Yeah. I apologize. So mine is Frayed Knights, the Skull of Smackdown. And I'm not going to go too in-depth with it, but because I spent like 15 hours playing it, I didn't get a chance to play any other indie games, so I'm going to talk about it a little bit. It's an old school sort of point and click adventure RPG type game. It's different in some interesting ways than games I've played before, but it's also really similar to a lot of that type of game that I've played before. And I think talking to one of the developers, that's kind of what they were going for. They were going for like a game that was really reminiscent of old games, which is where it really got me, and why I fell in love with it. I will be more objective in my review, but I fell in love with it because it reminded me of a game I used to play when I was younger called Realms, and it was available only on the Mac, and it like made this awesome point of being only for the Mac. You know, it was one of those companies, because nobody made games for the Mac, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Right, and so, like, it was a big deal to have this game, and I love that game so much. I played it all the time. It was, like, a sort of like a D&D style, where you go into, you explore things and go into battles with different kinds of monsters and stuff, and I just spent so many years of my youth playing that, and then I bought, a couple years later, I bought another edition of it, and then it would only play on, like, remember when you could, like, boot Max up in, like, the old like
system, like, yeah,
and so you could only play it if you booted it up in the old system, and now I can't get it at all. So I've always been looking for a game that is like that, and this one really reminds me of that, so it made me really happy and nostalgic for that. So you have this crew of people. There's 4 people, 4 characters in your party, and they're like contemporary characters sort of, but they're set in this like traditional sort of D&D. You open up and you're in a cave, and you're like walking around fighting skeletons and stuff, and it's easy, it's fun, it's like $20, so I really it's an enjoyable game. There's some changes I would make that we'll talk probably about when we do the review, or some ways that it didn't come through all the way for me, but as far as enjoyment goes, that it's a very enjoyable, addicting game. Although the developer told me it takes about 30 hours for a playthrough, and I am not experiencing that. It's taking me far longer, but maybe it's because I'm reading the text. Mm. Yeah, Sam, I'm reading the text. So there. which is one of the things I love about the game. The dialogue is so clever. Like, I'll be sitting by myself on the couch, like, laughing hysterically because of the dialogue in the game. But
you just want to make an excuse for talking to yourself.
Well, I don't need an excuse for that, okay? But whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, like Alex said, I'm playing the game too, and I think it is definitely, it's being billed as an old school RPG. And that's exactly what it is. It's an old school RPG. I mean, it brings me back to the old, almost back, well, not as far back as that. That's how old I am. I was going to say almost back to the old Tandy monochromatic screen. But it's not that old. But definitely kind of LucasArts in its heyday kind of line of games.
That is a really, really good description for it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not, and Alex does such a great job talking about it. I'm not going to talk more about it now.
Yeah, take that.
Wait until the full review comes out.
It'll be a good review. I have lots to say.
It sounds like it.
Well, like the last game we reviewed, The Day in the Woods, was really fun, but it wasn't as complex. This is a really complex game, so I think we'll have a lot to say.
Nice.
And that is our indie game of the week.
Yeah.
And now for our issue of the week. So it's time for our second time capsule. It's the Not Your Mama's Gamer video game time capsule. Our time capsule series is based on the belief that video games are cultural artifacts that have something to say about the cultural moment that they are created in. And for this segment, we are spending time going through and choosing three or four games along with the necessary hardware to play them and putting them in a time capsule. Theoretically, right?
Yes.
To be buried and then excavated and no less than 100 years. The question that kind of looms here is based on these kind of three cultural artifacts, what will the discoverers of this time capsule be able to glean about us as a society? And this week's time capsule is going to be filled with our choice of apocalyptic games. So, ladies, when we're thinking about our apocalyptic games, like I said, I played a bunch of them this week and played a bunch of them lately. Mm-hmm. There was even a point that between the last episode where we were playing zombie games in this episode where I was playing Games of the Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. I like that, Games of the Apocalypse.
Yeah.
I actually had nightmares one night.
Oh, no.
And it was not because the games themselves were so scary, because they really weren't. But I think I've said this before, is my imagination is like totally and completely overactive. So it took all the things that I even found cheesy about some of these games and actually made them scary.
Oh, no.
You know, my mind is like constantly going, I'm like, that would actually be scary if they did X. So my mind was like, well, let me do that for you when you're sleeping. So I actually had nightmares one night, and then I spent a lot of time playing Harvest Moon after that. Mm-hmm. It just got to decompress. But I did. I picked up and played Rage, the new post-apocalyptic game. Mm.
Which you didn't feel too keen about.
Well, yeah, it was... I didn't. It's like a cross between, how did I put it, Borderlands and, I don't know. It's like a cross between Borderlands and more of an old school kind of, or a
didn't typical. Didn't you really like Borderlands?
Huh?
Didn't you really like Borderlands, though?
I mean, I did to a certain extent. The graphics, I think, were more Borderlandy than anything else. But the thing about Rage is that there were a lot of, like, fetch quests that drove me crazy. It was like,
I'm getting sick of those.
Go to point A and talk to person A and then come back and talk to me. But you get to point A and person at point A would give you another quest that involved you going back to person A, going to person A prime and blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of really getting on my nerves because it was too much like grinding. And that really drove me nuts.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That and the fact that, you know, really, if I sneak up behind a mutant or a zombie or whatever the hell they may be at that point, and I double tap you in the back of the head, you should not turn around and chase me.
Yep.
No, yeah.
You should go down.
That gets screamed at my TVs in my house so often. Like, I shot you 6 times in the head. How are you not down?
Right.
Gotta be believable.
Plus, right. Like, there's a time and place for those, the grinding, you know, like WoW and stuff like that. But in a zombie game, you want to kill stuff, right? Like a post-apocalypse game, you want to be doing action, not little quests.
Yes. Yeah, see, and that's the thing is that, yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Well, you know, well, let me say this. I'm fine with it not just being a straight beat-em-up or a straight shooter mm-hmm. like zombie games. Because I want a narrative in a post-apocalyptic game. Because yeah. I want to know absolutely. What happened.
Kind of like a Fallout 3.
Right, like Fallout 3. Or Bioshock.
Yeah.
I want to know the story. So I'm fine with some quests. But don't make them stupid quests. Right? Because kill the quests weren't teaching me anything. Yeah, well, the quests weren't teaching me anything. They were just kind of like, go busy. Over here.
Just busy work.
Right. And find out if so-and-so's dead, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that was busy work. But, okay, that's neither here nor there. So that was Rage. And I also played Fallout 3. And I played Fallout New Vegas, which I bought for the first time right before the extra credit game marathon. And wasn't really terribly fond of, because Fallout New Vegas just felt like more DLC for Fallout 3. Because remember with Fallout 3, they started doing the DLC of certain cities. Mm-hmm. I think they could have just added New Vegas to that instead of releasing it as a separate game. Interesting. Excuse me. I meant to mute before I did that. But it snuck up on me. And the other game that the post-apocalyptic game that I played and have been playing is Deus Ex.
Yeah.
So if I consider those 4 or 5 games, because I threw Bioshock in there, I think the game that I would add to the time capsule would be Fallout 3. And I'll tell you more about why once everybody else throws their games in, okay. And we can figure out why we put them all in.
Okay, well, I can go next. My turn. The ones that I thought about when I was trying to decide what to put in was Deus Ex, which we've talked about on the show before. Battlefield, which I haven't played extensively. I've just, you know, played a little here and there on other people's consoles because I don't own it. But I chose Battlefield because Battlefield 3 is coming out. And is it on Tuesday that's coming out or the following Tuesday? Anyway.
Oh, Battlefield 3 is out already.
No, that's not possible.
Modern Warfare 3 comes out Tuesday.
Oh, I am fully aware when Modern Warfare 3 comes out. Did Battlefield? Are you someone looking
at
it?
Yeah, we're all looking at it. It said it became available 10/25/2011.
Oh, okay. Well, son of a gun. Okay. Let me scratch that. So I chose Battlefield 3 because it just came out. And I haven't played Battlefield 3, but the advertisements for it are so awful. The soundtrack to the game is 99 Problems and a Bitch Ain't One.
Oh, if I remember come on.
Correctly. Right. Not soundtrack to it, but the song they've been using for it.
Right.
So I thought that game, even though I'm not terribly interested in it, that game would say a lot about our culture. Fallout 3 was a game I thought of. And then I picked a post-apocalyptic iOS game called Zombie Trade Wars, which is really fun. If I'm going to put one in the time capsule, I think it's going to be Deus Ex, because they go... I think that it's so revealing, the stuff that happens, like the characters, the peripheral characters in Detroit. What's her name? Do you guys remember?
Oh, the trash woman?
Yeah, the trash woman.
I
think it's Letitia.
I'm spaced on it. Right? Yeah, it is like Letitia. Letitia, yeah.
I think it's really revealing, like, not like so much the actual gameplay, because that's sort of that's more standard, like shooting people and stuff like that, but like the peripheral characters I think are really interesting, and also like the big head person in that, like the main person in the game, is this crazy brilliant scientist, and mm-hmm. it's a woman, so I think that's really although you're sort of trying to save her, so that sort of goes back to that old narrative, so I thought it's like this nice I'm talking about my game now. I'm sorry. I realized that we were supposed to wait. Okay, yeah. So I like that it has the conflict of, like, newer narratives about women and their role in science and things like that, but also still the same complications of, like, the damsel in distress narratives and things like that. So I thought that it was a nice... Well, plus you have sort of, like, the medical augmentation stuff, and then you also have the like, crazy racist portrayal of people in Detroit. I thought it had some nice depth to it, some complexity, so that's why I would put it in there. But Zombie Trade Wars, the whole point of me getting that out of the way was to say Zombie Trade Wars is so fun. It's this game you have a certain amount of money, and you travel around to different cities to buy things and sell things. That's your goal, is to try and make money in the zombie apocalypse. So you can, like, buy survival guides in one city if they're $20 a piece. And then you can go to the next city, and the market value in the next city might be $40 a piece. So then you can go there and then sell them.
Sounds like Drug Wars. Remember the old game Drug Wars?
I don't think I played that.
Ah, see?
I played a game called Happy Weed once, which was like Pac-Man, except you went around eating drugs. That's where I learned about so many drugs for the first time, like peyote. I never knew what peyote was until that, and like you could go around and get beer. Anyway, neither here nor there. So Happy Weed, if you ever are interested, go ahead and Google that. So Zombie Trade Wars, and then you try to make money by, like, going to cities. You know, you can sell, like, bite kits or sell shotgun shells, or, and then you get attacked by zombies sometimes, or, like, people will try and extort you for, like, to buy their protection or just steal your money. So I thought that game was super fun. You know what? Okay, so I spelled Deus Ex wrong.
I know. I saw her fixing that because I was like, whoa.
Okay, well, which Battlefield are you putting in? Are you putting Battlefield 3 in? Because that's not post-apocalyptic.
Well, the one I was thinking of, the one that I've played was 2, which is post-apocalyptic. But I just thought it was relevant since 3 is a hot topic right now.
Yes. Well, ladies, I took this homework assignment very, very seriously. Ooh. And I researched post-apocalyptic games until I was blue in the fingers, right?
I think that has a different meaning.
Oh, okay. Until I was quite tired. So every time I had a spare moment from my office to home to wherever, I was looking up post-apocalyptic video games. And I did see overlap with zombie games, because often the post-apocalyptic event has resulted in mutated life forms. So there was a bit of an overlap, and I was surprised by some of the games categorized, and I saw many lists as well. So Fallout 3 was a popular choice of many other top 10 lists, I noticed. But one of the games that surprised me was being considered post-apocalyptic, and I guess, I don't think I played through the whole thing, but Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought, the Disney game? That's post-apocalyptic, I guess, right? And I found an old school one, because I was like, well, what exactly is the span of our quote unquote age? You know, like, does it count the 90s? Are we counting only the aughts or whatever we call ourselves now? And so there was a Nintendo game that you can play online. It's a flash game now, of course, right? Called Crystalis. And this one was the result a nuclear war. Okay, a global thermonuclear war, okay, and has wiped out humanity, and it's 100 years after this event that you go around now, and you are trying to kind of, an evolution has taken place, and you're trying to go around and kind of repopulate and you know, all these things. And that one's really old school. I think it was from 1990, but I was interested in what they categorized as a post-apocalyptic event versus what we were doing now in the 2000s, right? And within 10 years, you know, when the Berlin Wall came down in 90, right? The Cold War was kind of getting colder or warmer, however you want to say. And so nuclear war now, you know, it seems like now what the games are interested in and their narrative would be a scientific fallout, you know, some kind of pandemic maybe, maybe global warming, you know, some sort of global natural event, but I thought it was curious to see what the event of the apocalypse, how that altered. And I also played a little bit of Half-Life 2, which was a lot like the movie book 1984. You know, you had that kind of vibe. And it also gave me a vibe at the beginning of 12 Monkeys, for some reason, the movie. And
With Bruce Willis, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, because you're kind of in this world, and you're waking up, and, you know, you have these, you're on this train is what's going on. There's this person talking to you. And just about the way this, the video screens were talking, and you have, like, a certain task, and something has happened, and you've got to figure out. I don't know. I kind of felt like how Bruce Willis kind of wakes up, and all of a sudden he's back in time, and he has certain things he's supposed to do. I don't know. Just because it was grimy, too. And I was curious that it was dystopian. My Crystalis game was actually rather positive, because the world had ended and was now being rebuilt. But Half-Life 2 is dystopian. So I don't know. And then, you know, if we can throw BioShock on the table, that's the one I always wanted to put at consider, because what, Alex, what you said about the augmentation, you know, how we're using science and how, you know, he's always trying to inject the, and I don't think they call them serums, but he's always using this stuff with the bees, and he can do stuff with his arms, and, you know, he goes and he can do all these puzzles, and it's underworld, you know, water world, and you got the big daddies, and we've all played BioShock, and it's such a huge, it was a huge game when it came out, and it, certainly there's a reason why it was, people responding to it. So that's the game I would put in as a capsule, but I thought it was interesting to chart how the apocalyptic event has changed throughout the years. So anyway, that's my ramble.
Yeah.
So anyway. BioShock is the one Sarah's putting in.
That's what I would put in. That game really did leave an impression.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
And Alex put in Deus Ex.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm putting in Fallout 3. And I think, interestingly enough, I think we're all putting in similar games for similar reasons. And mm-hmm. and perhaps it's because that's the way that many of our games are kind of geared, is that, excuse me.
You need another hot toddy.
I do need another hot toddy. My voice is going. is that science is the thing that seems to be destroying the world in all of these games.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's physical augmentation, whether it's the environment, whether it is, you know, whatever it is, right? And whatever form it takes. Yeah. Is it actual kind of post-nuclear destruction of the physical environment? Is it a zombie apocalypse? Is it, you know, mutation? It's all of these different things. And I think that, like, for Fallout 3, you know, it's all about, you know, the destruction of the environment, right? You know, you're when you wake up, actually in 3, you're being born into a bunker that is supposed to protect you. and then you eventually, because of, excuse me, gosh, you eventually find yourself kind of leaving the bunker and going out into the world that exists. To see what's still out there in order to kind of maintain yourself at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, there are unexploded nuclear bombs laying mm-hmm. around. There are kind of Mad Max kind of rogue guerrilla troops running around ready to take you out. There are people that you can build alliances with. There's all kinds of shit, and it's all very brown. It's all very kind of post-nuclear. Mm-hmm. There's no greenage growing.
Do you think, Sam, that maybe one of the things that's going on with that then, because it's certainly that way in Deus Ex 2, like, mm-hmm. the landscape's not like it is in Fallout 3. In Fallout 3, like you were saying, it's very brown, but in Deus Ex, it's very, like, industrial and metal and concrete. But still, both of those games, I don't know, I never played BioShock, actually, I'm embarrassed to admit, but I don't know, so I don't know if it's the same in there, but,
Well, it's underwater.
Yeah, you're in an underwater
world.
Okay,
so you're underwater, but in at least those two games that I've played, you're always trying to, like, seek out other humans, you know, like, you're always...
Right.
So, like, science has maybe, like, done all this crazy stuff, there's bombs everywhere, the landscapes look different, But you're always like sort of seeking the company of other human beings.
Right. I think that one of the bigger differences between those two games is with Deus Ex, it is still very industrial. That the buildings and the machines have all survived the apocalypse or been rebuilt after the apocalypse.
Right, right.
Because the apocalypse affects the organic matter in Deus Ex. And in Fallout, it affects everything. It's like nuclear, just like a nuclear bomb going out. Mm-hmm. It's taking out everything, you know, people and buildings alike. And that's not what happens in Deus Ex.
Well, you know, I was curious too about the dystopian versus utopian. There's very, very few. I mean, you can have a apocalyptic game that offers a hopeful, you know, vision of the world, but they're so dark. These
Bastion does.
Does it?
Bastion, I mean, if you think about it, is a post apocalyptic game. I mean, you wake up, and you know. The evil has happened already, and you have to rebuild the world.
That's like the Dark Cloud, old school.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I remember too, like thinking back, since we have done no reading, I'll bring this up. Mackenzie Wark is a game theorist, and he wrote about dystopias, utopias, and then atopias. And he sort of saw video games as like an atopian place, and maybe that's part of like what we're seeing happening is it's not like so simple dystopia, utopia, like that simple division. It's more like a way to explore the concept of what's happening after the apocalypse. So I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that that's interesting because I think that definitely the apocalyptic games show the fear that we have of science and technology either gone horribly wrong or in the wrong hands.
Yeah, yeah. Wrong hands, probably.
I think it's probably more specifically kind of there.
Mm-hmm. It certainly plays to a deeper consciousness, I think, that's in our culture right now. You know, that, like you said, it's preying on, or not preying, but Alex, I like the point you say, it's kind of helping us work through a trauma that's not yet happened, but sort of like we all anticipate, you know?
Well, I don't know if it hasn't happened yet. I mean, think about well, certainly there's it's not a wasteland, but as far as like getting disconnected from other humans,
right?
Like I always think, whenever I think about the post-apocalypse, I always think of that scene from iRobot. Now, iRobot, I don't hate as a movie, but we were in an RV and we had two DVDs, iRobot and War of the Worlds, the one with Tom Hanks, or not Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
So I've probably seen iRobot, I'm not exaggerating, probably 25 times. So
I like it. It's
fine. But anyway, I always think, whenever I think about it, I think of that scene where like the robots, they open the thing and the robots are all like huddled together in the corner of the train car. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think about like humans acting that way in the post-apocalypse too. Like there's, you know, maybe there's no reason for us to like huddle together, but we still do, just like the robots, you know? And now I'm like sounding like some crazy futurist or something, but with technology and sort of the, how we're physically more separate, that might be one of the reasons why we're so obsessed with these stories about seeking out and finding other humans in the post-apocalypse.
That the technology that divides us it's almost like we hope for, it's gone. So much of our life is dependent upon it, but our post-apocalyptic fantasies are of a world that returns to an organic, to its base. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Human connection. No man is an island.
Now I feel love for my fellow humans.
Yeah.
And now I don't. I'm past it.
You're over it.
All right. Well, thanks, ladies. So those are our three games for our post-apocalyptic, our games. I like the phrase, the games of the apocalypse for our time capsule. How about we run through some quick buys of the week before we say goodbye to folks?
What about our contest?
Oh, well, we'll talk about that after we do the buys of the week.
Okay.
Deals
for broke-ass gamers.
Deals for broke-ass gamers. Steam, Tropico 4. 33% off. Conflict Denied Ops, 75% off. There's also a bunch of games that are 10% off as usual. One of them's LA Noir. But you can get it for cheaper other places anyway, so don't get it on there.
$20 now at the store.
Yeah, $20. So you can get it there. Yeah. So it's still like $45 there on Steam. Good Old Games has Enlight Software 60% off. And then iWorld Star Wars. That is definitely not the game.
Star Wars is out there, though.
It's not that. A Star Wars. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is Star Wars. I'll check that while we're talking about our contest. So there's another game that's 60% off to be determined. Amazon is buy two, get one free on select games. And this one, if I'll let Sam announce.
To ship it to you.
Yeah, right. So this one you could do, Sam, since this one got you.
Yeah, this is one of the ones that got me this week. Target also has buy two, get one free on all their games, $9.99 to $79.99.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the one that sucked me in. Because when you go there to buy one, you're like, well, if I'm going to buy one, I might as well buy two.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's Star Wolves. Star Wolves. My bad.
Oh, Star Wolves, okay. Star
Wars. But Might and Magic 9 also at Good Old Games is $5.99 this week. I don't know if that's a sale or if that's just their new release. And it's in full 3D. And it looks like it might be really awesome. yeah, I'd be tempted. It's an old game because that's what Good Old Games are. And it's, God, that game's almost 10 years old already.
Wow.
Mm. But if you're in the mood for a fantasy RPG, this is definitely way to go. It's another old school RPG. Alex, you actually might really like that one.
Yeah, I might need to check that out. You said 10 years. I just realized my 10-year anniversary, not 10-year anniversary, 10-year high school reunion is going to be coming up.
My 20 is tomorrow. Or is next it? Year, I mean. Next year.
I have 2013 is my 10. That's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry. Side note.
That's really cute. Your 10-year high school reunion.
I know. She's such a little baby, isn't she?
I know.
Shit. I could have given birth to her.
That's a post-apocalypse I want to imagine. I came out of...
Come here! Mama needs her medicine.
Good Lord. All right. So, you heard mention of it already. Now it's time to talk about it in more detail. We have contests. And we're actually going to run two simultaneous contests this time. I don't know why, because we're crazy.
because I felt bad that I wasn't participating.
She was guilted.
I was guilted. I guilted myself.
Mm-hmm. She guilted herself. I don't know why, but okay. The two contests that we're running this week. Okay, here's the first one. Now, everybody knows what 11-11-11 is, right? Yeah, it's the date of the release of Skyrim. You know, I know everybody's waiting for that one. If you're not, you should be.
There's something else looming in my future in the next couple days that is sort of taking over my excitement.
Modern Warfare 3 comes out on the 8th. We know.
Well, I like how you had a nice neutral tone about that. That was good.
We're going with Skyrim because, you know, we are. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I should have muted before I did that again. So it's a Bethesda game, of course. It's the latest in the series of the Elder Scrolls games. Definite awesome hardcore ass RPG game. And we're gonna give away a copy of Skyrim. Now, in order to win a copy of Skyrim, you're gonna have to do something. To be entered into the drawing. We are going to post a status update on our Facebook page for Not Your Mama's Gamer. And you have to share that status update on your own Facebook page. And what that will then do is give us a list of the people who have shared that post. And what we will do finally is to draw a winner using a random number generator like we did last time from the folks who have shared that post. And to make it fair, today is Friday. The post and this podcast will be up within the next couple of hours if I can stay awake from the cold medicine I'm going to have to dope myself up with afterwards. And so we'll start the contest with the post, right?
Yep.
And how long should we run? How long should we run the contest? How long should people have to share?
Week, 2 weeks.
Oh, that's a long time.
Oh,
what do you think, Alex?
Alex,
2 weeks is a long time.
Yeah,
it's a long time.
A week.
We do like 5 days.
We do 5 days because they say Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, you got until midnight on Tuesday, which is actually midnight on Wednesday. So 11:59 on Tuesday. And 11:59 on Tuesday is the point at which we will write down in order the shares of the post in question. And we will draw the winner of the, we'll draw the winner of the, of the contest.
We'll do random number generator again.
Random number generator again. Should we draw it live or should we draw it on the 10th and ship on the 11th?
No, I think we should announce it on our podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll draw the winner live and announce it on the next podcast.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Woo!
Skyrim.
Woo!
All righty. And our second contest.
Ms. Lane?
Our second contest is sponsored by me as part of NYM Gamer, and being a broke-ass gamer myself, I'm going to buy a t-shirt for a Purdue t-shirt for the winner of the following contest. Your job to participate in the Not Your Mama's Gamer t-shirt contest, sponsored by Alex Lane and Purdue in accordance with NYMG. Copyright 2011, is to make a comment on our iTunes page. So go onto iTunes, download the podcast, write a little comment on there, and we'll do a drawing for an awesome t-shirt sponsored by us.
Awesome.
And you can win that.
Okay. And once again, we'll do the same cutoff of 5 days. Does that sound good, or do you want to run that one longer, Alex Lane?
5 days is perfect for me.
Okay, so we'll do the same cutoff, and we'll make a list in chronological order and use the random number generator to draw our winner again on the next podcast.
Mm-hmm. Contests.
Woo! Freak stuff.
Everybody loves free stuff. Not Skyrim, are you kidding? What a deal. And a t-shirt.
I want to win Skyrim. Can I win?
I want to win a t-shirt.
I'll be playing Skyrim like so hardcore before then.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I'm picking it up at midnight. I am not even playing.
I know. I'm canceling all my classes. And not that I'm going to cancel my classes. But I'm going to cancel all my classes on Tuesday and Thursday. I'm going to stay home. Say I have mono.
Well, that mono, that'll get you.
That's right.
That's right. Oh, but that's for Modern Warfare 3 because Skyrim comes out on Friday.
I know.
At least I don't have to cancel anything. I got all weekend.
Dang it.
I just need somebody to watch my kid.
Not it. As if you would sign me up for that anyway.
Right.
I'm always the first. Ooh, I snorted.
Yeah. Nice.
Woo!
Woo!
All right. So that brings us to the end of our 22nd episode. Can you believe it? Absolutely. Of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast. Remember, you can find us online at numerous places. Definitely check out the blog. See what interesting and smart things we have written lately at NYM Gamer.
You're
real. Have you been to the website, Sam? Really?
Yes. Once or twice. At NYMGamer.com. There's, like I said, even though we podcast every 2 weeks, we post regularly. We say really smart things. Please feel free to leave comments. check out our videos. See what we have to say. You can also follow us on Twitter at NYMGamer. You can email us questions or comments, or even if you want to kind of create an audio file, which we will play on the air and then respond to at nymgamer@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NYMGamer. Mm-hmm. Did I forget anything?
No.
Did you get the email, the Gmail?
Yeah, I got Gmail. Okay. NYMGamer@gmail.com.
All
right. So there are myriad ways to find us. Also, you can find us on iTunes. Okay, I lied. you can find us on iTunes. you can find us on iTunes. Just look up Not Your Mama's Gamer. Download the podcast. Leave us a comment to be entered into the contest for the free T-shirt. On Facebook, you just got to search for Not Your Mama's Gamer because the slashy thing is not working right now for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. remember from the Facebook page, from our Facebook page, if you share the post that's going to go up this afternoon, you'll show up in our list of shares. And guess what? Then we will use that as your entry into the contest to win a free copy of Skyrim on the console of your choice.
Pretty much the greatest contest ever.
No doubt. Ever. Yeah, ever.
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 So those are the ways that you can reach us. Like I said, thanks for joining us for another episode of Not Your Mama's Gamer. Please feel free to contact us. We look forward to hearing from you. We do this for you. Mm-hmm. And until next time, enjoy Modern Warfare 3 and Skyrim. stay safe, stay hydrated, and get some kind of sleep. and, of course, game on.
Game on.
Game on.
Tells